Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Portable Magic Dispenser. My name is Lucas Maxwell, and I'm the librarian here at Glenthorne High School. And this is a podcast for your school and public library. And today I'm going to be quickly talking about running an open mic in your school library, how we do it, what's worked, what hasn't worked. And it's one of the things that, weirdly enough, I've been running since probably for 9 years now. And I mean, obviously it took a hiatus during the lockdown and during all the restrictions when we weren't allowed to, which was, you know, the way it was. It's fine. We just couldn't do them. But they really have been a staple of the library. And I don't remember why I started one, to be perfectly honest, because I'm not musically inclined, but I used to like, I used to stand up comedy, so I have done it. But I really just thought it was something that would give the students a platform. I remember one student in particular. There's a lot of students who are musically inclined in our school. It's a kind of a performing arts school. And so it kind of made sense. And I saw a lot of students walking around with their musical instruments. And, you know, a lot of students who were obviously very personable and seemed to be really engaged in that kind of activity, so I thought it made sense. We used to be in a much smaller space, so it was extremely chaotic, and still is chaotic, but it's in a good way. It's controlled chaos. My first, I guess, tip would be to have help if possible. If you're on your own, it can be very, very tricky. I ended up kind of running one on my own recently, just by weird circumstances, and even it's tough. So I really recommend getting help if you can, and I know that's not easy for everybody. So we run ours once a month during lunch. You may find that it works better for you in different times, you know, after school or whatever, but lunch is good for us. So we do close the library once a month for the open mic. And this is for obvious reasons. We have computers. We shut those down just because we don't want anybody doing anything else but watching the open mic. And it is always packed. So what has happened in the past, when I first started, I asked the music department, look, can we borrow your equipment? Mic, amp, a keyboard. What else do we have? That was about it. And they said fine, but I was running back and forth, dragging everything back and forth, setting everything up myself, learning how to set everything up myself, which is fine. But now, I guess over time and, you know, just the way things go, we have a really, really positive relationship with the music department. And very helpfully, they set everything up for us. So I'm very lucky for that. But you may find you don't want or need amplification or instruments. You don't need it. because sometimes it's just giving the students a space to perform and changing the perspective of what the library is. You know, really, to me, it's about giving them ownership over the space, saying, look, this is a library, but this is also a space to do this thing. And it's really cool. And we've had some real amazing kind of performances and things, you know, really cool things that have happened. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But so having help, if you have a music department that is able to do that, if you give them plenty of notice, that's been my thing. So once a month at lunch. And we put up a lot of posters. And right now I'm in the situation where a music teacher is doing that for us, which is amazing. He's really gone above and beyond making posters. We also put a screen up now and have imagery kind of playing in the background just for fun. Based on, and we have a theme. So that's another thing I would recommend, having a theme. So it depends on what the theme is. In September we did one, and the theme was the students just had to say what book they were reading before they came up. And that was not even my idea. It should be, shamefully, not the librarian's idea. It was the music teacher's idea. He said, why don't we just ask them, make it book-themed? I thought, that's cool. They didn't have to perform anything book-themed. But it's very loose. But it's just, they just had to come up and say, I'm reading, and I recommend. And it was really cool. And then we've had many other themes. And the themes usually just mean we put up imagery on the screens. We recognize that this is part of the theme. So, of course, October, we want to honor and recognize Black History Month. And the performances hopefully will reflect that. So what I do, but if they don't, it's not, you know, we aren't punishing anyone or telling them they can't perform. So we're in a situation now where the students, if they want music in the background, if they're going to sing, they can send me the link to the YouTube clip and I can give that to the music teacher and we make sure that that is playing in the background while they perform. So if something instrumental or whatever, or just background vocals that help them. So that has been extremely helpful. So what I do, there is a sign-up sheet, but I make sure that the students are aware that the sign-up sheet is only for those who want to perform. And what they need to do is give me their names and what they're going to do. And this is just so I can, or it's usually not been me the last few times. I'm kind of like the venue bouncer or the venue manager. Bouncer is a better term, I think. I'm making sure things are running smooth in the venue, which is the library. But the music teacher wants to be able to say, okay, do we have this so-and-so? Or what he does very cleverly is he meets with them kind of in the crowd as they're sitting there. Because, to be honest, some of them are maybe extremely nervous because there are about 100, 110 students in the library for open mic, you know, without fail. And the audience is really good. There's no, we've just been super lucky. The students are coming in there to see this performance. There's no mockery or jeering or anything like that. I don't see any of that. And I am, trust me, I'm like the Pope's bodyguard. I am like, who is out there causing issues? There's rare, like, we've done, I don't know how many of these in 9 years, many, many, many open mics. And the issues I've had are, I can count on one hand. So he's going around kind of discussing with them, are you okay? You still okay to go up? And I'll do that as well. We have some kind of veterans, if lack of a better term, who perform at open mic all the time and are desperate to get up there, and it's amazing. They want to sing. They want to play an instrument. And we open it to all age ranges, so that's another thing. So the age ranges for us are 11 really to 19, and it doesn't matter who it is. And that's another cool thing, is that it is bringing in year 7, so 11-year-olds and 19-year-old students, and they're sitting around together just enjoying the show. And it's great. And so I used to host it. So I used to take the mic and go, all right, welcome. Maybe tell a few amazing jokes at the top there. And then, you know, just get things rolling. Because in reality, by the time everything's set up, so that's another thing. If you're going to have it set up, I do it the period before. And the music tech, who's amazing, he knows this. He comes in the period before, has everything set up. So therefore, our lunch hour runs from 1:15 2:05. By 1:25, I really want to get going, because it always ends up like, at the beginning, there might be some cold feet. We'll have some veterans go up and perform, and then they start to, okay, I can do this. And then it's like, you always at the end, there's always, can I do one, sir? And it's, the bell is going to ring in like 30 seconds, and we just can't get it. So I want to get things rolling as soon as possible. So I'm get in. So everybody who's I'm outside ushering people in as fast as I can. Everybody who is performing gets a special kind of lunch pass. Of course, to jump the lunch queue, which is like a coveted, I should paint it gold. It's so coveted, this stamp in their planners. And it's it just lets them jump the queue and they come in. And so we're going around to make sure everyone's comfortable with still performing, because if they're not, then we have waiting lists, etc., people who might want to do it. And there just might be a kid sitting there and go, hey, did you want to? Or they might say, I want to. And there's absolutely, of course, no pressure. But either myself or the music teacher is going up, and and saying something, you know, just introducing them, bringing them up like a proper host, and try to make a big deal of it, have the background, maybe some background music, background imagery. It's just a nice, fun atmosphere. So we've got the sign-up sheet, and I put that up. I try to put that up a good 2 or 3 weeks in advance, because sometimes they'll put their names up, they'll come in, they'll cross their names out, they'll put their names back. I'm wondering if I should put it behind the desk just to have it so other people can't see who's performing what, but I don't know if they care so much, but maybe they don't want to see their names on there. I don't know. I'm thinking about that, but it's hard to do that because if I'm not always by the board, they may think, oh, it's been taken down. It's kind of tricky, but we, in advance of the event, we put posters up all over the place. Nowadays, our school, we have like a few dedicated areas for posters, which your school may as well. We do that, and we have these screens in the hub, which are fairly new-ish, screens and around the school that display upcoming events. And it'll go up there. It also goes in the staff bulletin, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute, about involving staff with another event that we do, open mic related, which is a lot of fun. So once we've got everything set up, we've got everybody in. What I do is I do lock the doors because, and there's a good reason for this, most students, 99% of them know that they have to come in the library. Our library is certain. There's an entrance and an exit. I'm quite strict with that because it causes huge traffic jams if they're going in the wrong way and out the other way. It's just a nightmare. And so I lock the entrance and I have a little sign that just says, please wait to be admitted, because I personally don't like it. These are, we have big, heavy doors in the library. They're glass. You can see them, see through them, but they're big and they're heavy, and they just slam and they make this huge noise. And I don't like that when in the middle of like a year seven or anyone who's just maybe braving the crowd and performing for the first time to like open the door to the chaos out in the hub or the outside. So I lock it, and then I will signal to them, maybe like just wait a minute or two, and then in between when the applause is happening, I'll open the door. So that's where I'm the bouncer. And if I'm not doing that, I appoint one of our awesome student librarian assistants to be the bouncer. For a course, we have the achievement stamps and points and things, and they're getting tons of those for that. And snacks, of course. That is the other thing. You may even say, I absolutely do not allow any food in my library, and I applaud you. I don't either, except on events that are like this. I do allow some snacks because, it speeds things up. They come in faster. And that's what my job is, get them in, let them have fun, and get them out. Because it is absolutely packed in there. There's kids sitting on the floor. I've recently got a beanbag chair, which may be my demise, but I've got a big, giant beanbag chair. This thing, it's the size of a small car. I didn't realize it was so big. It was donated to me, which is amazing. Really nice of the teacher to do it, but couldn't get it through the door. Had to get some help getting it into the place. That's how big this thing was. And the kids, of course, love it. They do dive bombs, you know, nose dives into it every morning. But it is a really fun atmosphere. We've got students kind of dancing in the stacks, you know, and singing along and waving their arms, and it's a huge amount of fun. Which brings me to another point, which is this type of performances that we do, which is I allow anything. One of the reasons why I put down on the sheet what are you performing is inevitably you'll get a student who says they want to do stand-up comedy, which I love. Why am I so hard on myself? I was a stand-up comedian sort of for a little while, and obviously it didn't work out, but I love the idea that they're doing that. I would have absolutely killed to do that when I was a kid. Never had that opportunity, but I have to hear these jokes. I have to see these jokes in advance. It's just the nature of me being paranoid. We've had a few instances where it kind of trails off into, I don't know what I would call it, abstract art. But it's the stand-up comedy stuff, you just have to be kind of careful with. You know, if you say, look, there's a style to this, you have to kind of approach it seriously, and that's the irony of it, but I don't know. I just like to kind of know what are the jokes you're going to tell? Or if they just say, well, I'm just going to tell a story, that's fine. Let me see it. Or are you just going to get it? What is it about? And I just kind of like remind them of the audience, especially if it's an older group. Look, you got 11-year-olds in here. This isn't, you're still in school. But again, the number of times I've had to do that is extremely limited. Our open mics have been all music, which is amazing. A few students reading from, we did once with banned books. They read from their favorite banned books from, you know, banned books in the US usually. And that was a lot of fun talking about, you know, what their favorite banned books were and reading little excerpts. And that was cool. We've had students read poetry and recite their own poetry. But we've had students perform their own originals, instrumentals. We've got this amazing year 8 student who just makes up his own piano songs and sings. It's just mind-blowing to me, the talent. students who do a lot of covers. And they're nervous, and it's hard to, but they're in the supportive atmosphere, so which is amazing. And it's hard to quantify the feeling that a student gets standing at an open mic in front of a crowd of 120 kids and pouring their heart out. You can't put that in a pie chart for the suits, you know. So it's something that is quite unique, in my opinion, and it's extremely worth doing because it's all, like I keep saying, it's all about memories, right? It's all this is to me. This is like I'm trying to be a positive memory generator. I hated school when I was growing up. I hated every second of it. I'm just selfishly, it's like, this is what I would do for 11-year-old me. Open mic where I would go maybe just watch or go and try to tell jokes. That feeling when you tell a joke and it hits and a group of 100 people burst out laughing is, there's nothing like it. So, and it has to be the same for someone singing a song and they applaud, playing a guitar solo, whatever, piano solo, anything. So I want them to have that feeling at that age. So I check through what they're going to do. Sometimes I'm in email contact with them beforehand. It's just something that I like to do and get, you know, try to do. And like I said, we do one a month. Now, I run also a poetry open mic, usually in April. And I stole this from somebody in the U.S., and I apologize, I don't know their name, but, and I think it's like a big thing in the U.S., it's called Poem in Your Pocket Day, and I do like a version of that, and it's very simple. I find very, very short poems, like not made up, everyone's made up, like by famous poets usually, and they are usually between 5 and 6 lines long, and I print them out on these kind of, on a template that looks like a library due date slip. I'm trying to save paper this year as much as possible, so I might not print them out. I might just email them, but it just looks cool. I put hashtag pocket poem on the bottom of them, which I think is the hashtag. And again, I'm sorry if I've stolen. I know I've stolen this idea, but and then I roll them up, and my colleague rolls them up, and they're put in teachers' pigeonholes a couple of weeks before our big open mic, and it takes a long time, but we get the students to help as well. And I put this a message in briefing in the bulletin, I'm sorry, and then I stand up and declare, I speak up in staff briefing a week before and remind them, look, you've all got these things in your pigeonholes. This is a poem that we are giving you. We're inviting you. It's an invite to our open mic. Usually they just sometimes, if they don't hear me talking or read the bulletin, they're just finding mysterious rolled up poems, especially new teachers are kind of like, what is this? But their job is to memorize their poem and perform it during the open mic. Now, they don't have to memorize it. They can hold it open. They can do multiple. 5 lines is going to take like 10 seconds. There's nothing. And if they want to do something else, that's absolutely fine. But the idea is just to catch their attention. It doesn't matter what they do. Of course, not every teacher comes to the library at lunch to perform. But it really makes my day to hear teachers say, you know, that poem was great, or I really needed that today. You know, or that was a lot of fun. And the teachers who show up to perform, I mean, they're absolutely awesome. And to this day, sometimes I go into classrooms and I see that they've stuck their little poems that I've given them maybe 5 years ago on their wall because they really like it. And there's something really cool about a student seeing their PE. I always go PE, and that's like a cliche thing, but I've had many PE teachers come in and do this. But to see a student to see their PE teacher or their math teacher or any teacher out of their element, other than their drama teacher maybe. We've had, of course, some drama teachers come in, but we've had our dance teachers come in. But to see someone who teaches them math all day or teaches them PE all day or teaches them science, to see them perform a poem in front of a huge sea of kids with like all this enthusiasm, and I'm not saying they don't teach with enthusiasm, but it's a completely different element. It's a very electric element. It's very exciting and engaging, and I also get to connect with teachers that I don't get to see very often because they're very busy. So what I do is I get the students to say, okay, you're going to vote on your favorite performance from one of your teachers, and they absolutely love it. And I have prizes, usually like magnetic poetry, of course, some books, maybe a tote bag or something. And the teachers really love it. Not only does it bring in many, many students to the library that I might not see all the time, it brings in a lot of teachers that maybe don't have time to come. And how I get, again, how do you get students to perform it over mic? I guess if you are thinking like, how am I going to entice them to do this? I tell them they can perform anything, especially, but then again, if it's jokes, I need to know. The floor is theirs. Maybe they'll come back for another program as well. You know, maybe they'll come back for an additional event later in the year, or another open mic, or maybe they'll pick up a book on a book display that I've made that's around the theme. You know, it's really part of the plan of a librarian. I cannot recommend doing an open mic enough, and the poetry one is really cool. Again, it's just that you don't need to do the rolled up poems. You can just do an email invite, do a competition, give them when they walk in the door. But if I close the library, lock the library doors because it's full up, it's always kids pressed up against the glass outside looking in, teachers looking in. The atmosphere is pretty cool. And again, it's worth doing. I don't, with the poem in the pocket, I allow students to of course take a poem. So I have like maybe like a jar where they just reach in and grab a random poem and they try to memorize it right then and there, or they just read it out loud, and I'll do one, of course. And again, that is really fun, and we do that in April because I think that's when they do it in the United States, so it's a lot of fun. That's open mic. That's open mic strategies. I hope you enjoy and hope hear or see photos of an open mic that you get to do. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye.